As long as there have been Christians, there has been Christian persecution. The religious and political leaders of Jesus' day persecuted him and killed him. And Jesus warned us, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." Peter found this out the night Jesus was arrested. While he claimed to love the Lord, when push came to shove, literally, he wanted to simply blend into the crowd and not be identified with Christ. In fact, he denied even knowing Jesus, not once, but three times. Then the rooster crowed, and he wept bitterly, as the full realization came upon him that he was an utter failure and a coward, and had forsaken his friend unto death. I suppose it's only normal for us to try to avoid persecution, but when it comes to our Christian faith, we must expect it and accept it. Since Christ was crucified, millions of Christians have lost their lives for their faith. It continues even today in Islamic countries where to name the name of Christ will cost you your head. And in America today, if you stand up for Jesus, you risk losing your job, your business, your home, your life savings, and everything you have. Yes, even your life, as our nation continues to be invaded by jihadists who demand Christians renounce Jesus or die. For more than 200 years, the principles of Christianity had a profound influence on this nation. We flourished and grew into the greatest country on the planet. We led the way in technology and innovation, education and healthcare, and in the name of Christ, we rescued those suffering at the hands of ruthless dictators, fed the starving, and housed the homeless. We were a beacon of hope to the world, and immigrants from all around the globe sought freedom and refuge on our shores. But something has drastically changed. Our country is dying. It's imploding, collapsing under crushing debt, out-of-control violence and crime, legalized and legislated sodomy, racial and political tensions. Our streets run red with blood, and we cry out at the injustice. But we brought this upon ourselves. Our own hands are stained with the blood of the innocent preborn children that we kill for convenience and profit. And meanwhile, the American church simply sings a little louder and turns the other way in abject indifference. How can we possibly think that this is the way God wants his people to live? How can we claim to be a Christian nation when the American church has become so utterly irrelevant? No longer does the church restrain evil in our land. Instead, more often than not, it condones it, or worse yet, participates in it. No longer is the church a training ground equipping the saints to seek and save the lost. Instead, it's become a social club, a daycare center, a coffee house, and a concert hall. In 1962, the Supreme Court outlawed prayer in our public schools. Bible reading was criminalized a year later. Interesting, then, that by the mid-1960s, the young generation was in all-out rebellion, throwing off the perceived oppression of their parents, of conventional norms, and of religion altogether. It became the decade of free love, with sexual exploration and immorality running rampant. Question authority was the outcry. The anarchists longed to create a society of no rules and no moral absolutes. Within a decade, wicked judges proclaimed it legal to murder unborn babies. The divorce rate skyrocketed. Sexual perversion was celebrated. Feminism bloomed as masculinity was cast as undesirable and unnecessary. Single motherhood was encouraged. Alcoholism and drug abuse skyrocketed. And then everyone scratched their heads and wondered, why all the violence? Today that young generation has grown up, but having shunned the God of heaven, they have not gained much wisdom. Today they are our leaders in government, in education, even in our churches. But the world they have created does not resemble the utopia they dreamed of. It more closely resembles hell. As perversion and sin became more accepted in our land, it became socially unacceptable to question these things. Even pastors quit speaking out against evil. Then a new movement was born in the Christian church, the seeker-sensitive movement. The idea was to preach the love of God, but never man's sin. Today we even have so-called Christian churches that ordain pastors who are proud practicing sodomites. Most refuse to take a stand against the murder of the innocent preborn. And for that matter, you'd be hard-pressed to find a pastor willing to take a stand against evil of any kind. Meanwhile, as the world around us continues to deteriorate, Christianity continues to be more and more irrelevant. From our government leaders to our school boards to our Hollywood heroes and the news media, Christianity is the one faith in the world today that it's acceptable to ridicule and blaspheme. More often than not, when people hear the word Christian, it's equated with intolerance, bigotry, hatred, narrow-mindedness, oppression, hypocrisy, judging, and condemning. But people, we've been framed. Our liberal, progressive culture has framed the debate, and we have allowed it to happen because we've been too afraid to speak up, afraid to properly preach the truth of the Word of God in this dark world. Instead, our Christian leaders have chosen to repackage Christianity in a more acceptable and palatable form. To do this, they've gone so far the other way that nobody even knows what the Bible really says anymore. Biblical illiteracy is epidemic. The vast majority of people sitting in church every week have literally no idea what the gospel really is, because the truth is never preached anymore. You see, it can't be, because as Scripture says, the gospel is an offense to those who are perishing, and we are scared to death that we might be considered offensive. The Bible says we're practicing a form of godliness, but we deny the power of God. Essentially, we're just plain church. As a Christian today, to speak up against abomination and sin will most certainly get one labeled intolerant. If we dare speak of the wonders of creation, we'll be ridiculed as being simple-minded, denying the science of evolution. If we speak of the sanctity of human life, we'll be called haters of women. If we say sodomy is morally wrong, and there can be no such thing as homosexual marriage, we're labeled as bigots against equality. It doesn't matter what the topic is, any time we dare shed biblical light on our sinful culture, we will be spitefully attacked. We will be ridiculed, it's guaranteed. Because in our world today, truth sounds like hate. If you're not experiencing utter hatred from the worldly people around you, then it's a pretty fair guess that you are a chameleon Christian. You're blending in with the world rather than standing up and out for God. As chameleons, we hope that our faith never comes up in conversation, that we're not asked any questions about God at all, even that our strongly held convictions are never challenged because we're so fearful of conflict and ridicule. We need to remember what Jesus said. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. They'll treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. In short, if you are a Christian, you will be persecuted. But what are we afraid of, really? 1 Timothy reminds us, we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The Scripture goes on to say that, therefore, we should not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Jesus spoke to his followers, calling them the salt of the earth. But, he said, if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And so it has happened. Not only is the church and Christianity in America no longer influencing the culture, it's now become the butt of our culture's jokes. Irrelevant, thrown out and trampled underfoot. Homosexual perversion has come out of the closet proudly, while Christians have climbed into the closet, completely ashamed of their Lord. Or they may say things like, I'm a Christian, but I don't push my beliefs on other people. Let's be honest, they're really just too afraid to be associated with Jesus. They actually prefer to be chameleons because they like the closet. It's safe in there. So what can be done? First, we really have to take stock of ourselves and truthfully assess our spiritual condition. Are we really following God, or is our faith just for show, just for obligation or tradition on Sunday morning? Are we set apart and sanctified in our hearts and minds, or are we more closely conformed to the world? Do we deny ourselves any pleasures? Do we take every thought captive to the will of Christ, or do we indulge every appetite of the flesh? Do we embrace testing and trials, that our character might be cleansed and our Lord might be glorified as we walk by faith? Or do we wriggle and squirm out of our kingdom responsibilities? Honest answers to these questions must be our starting point as we assess our personal spiritual maturity. Then we need to take personal responsibility for our own biblical literacy. Don't blame your pastor if you don't know the Bible. If we truly believe the Bible is God's holy word, then is there anything more important than studying it, soaking it in, knowing it at a heart level? We can't lay all the blame on our pastors and church leadership. If we claim to love God and be good Christians, then it's our responsibility to know what God's word says and to obey it. How else can we fulfill the Great Commission, which is going out and making disciples and teaching them to obey all Jesus commanded? If we don't even know what Jesus commanded, how can we ever teach anyone else? We need to be strong, bold, fearless spiritual warriors, proud and capable to represent Christ in this fallen world, and to be a powerful, salty influence on our culture. We're to stand up with the power of the Holy Spirit, speak the truth in love, and present our cases reasonably with sound minds. We can't do that if we are biblically illiterate or unsure of what it is we truly believe. So first, we must know what we believe and why we believe, and then we are to speak it, even though it's sure to cause a stir. And please know this, my friends, if you are not causing a stir in your circle of influence, then you're not representing Christ and living out your faith at all. You're a closet chameleon Christian. Romans 12:1 exhorts us, "Do not be conformed to this world." James tells us, "Friendship with the world is hatred toward God." And 1 Peter 2:9, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Jesus cautioned us, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Friends, I think the Bible is clear that we are to stand up for the truth and certainly have no fear of conflict. Jesus said, "In the world you will have trouble, but fear not, I've overcome the world." Yes, we will encounter ridicule and people will try to silence our witness, but if God is on our side, who in the world can stand against us? Now, this doesn't mean that we should go around being obnoxious or deliberately picking fights. Because the truths we speak will sound to the world like hate, we must be sure that we're not being prideful or pompous. As we seek to teach and disciple those around us, we should do so with humility, knowing that it's only by God's grace that He saved us, and never forget that we were once in utter darkness ourselves. With all the frightful terrorism in the world and even in our own cities and towns, the news media has been stressing the phrase, "If you see something, say something," referring to suspicious activity we may observe and the need to warn the authorities of potential danger so that disaster might be averted and lives saved. This is good counsel. If you see something, say something. This should be our directive as Christians too. We would be poor citizens of heaven if we see potential danger to our lost friends and loved ones, and yet stand by and say nothing for fear that they might ridicule us. If we see something in our culture that's evil or dangerous or wicked, it's our duty to say something. What good are we if we do nothing? What good are we if we simply blend in with the perishing masses and let Satan have his way in our homes, our neighborhoods, our cities and towns, our country, and even our world? What good are we if we lose our saltiness? It's time to stop being chameleon Christians and let the world know who we are, what God says, what we believe, and who has saved us. Audio CDs and transcripts of this message are available when you call me at Wisconsin Christian News, 715-486-8066, or email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com and ask for message number 179.